The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
So, this performance for Manchester United last night, was it a sort of realisation that Manchester City are still that bit ahead of them, or did you expect a little bit more from Manchester United and that they perhaps underperformed just a tad?
I said yesterday I'd be pleasantly surprised if Manchester United beat and knocked out City last night. City have still got a better squad than United. I think they're favourites to win the Premier League for a reason. I thought the first half was pretty engrossing between two very good teams doing what they were doing, and City was superior in the second half. Disappointing for United to concede two goals from set kicks. Disappointing too to go out of another semi-final, because a trophy will really give United a lift. The players, the fans, the manager, who I think need something for the improvement which is made. And disappointing night for Manchester United. If you lose your derby game, if you're any club in the world in a semi-final, then it's not a good night. But it was the first defeat in seven for United. League form has been excellent. If the league finished today, United have got a better points per game average than any other team. I still don't think United will win the league this year. I've never expected that. So it's been a pleasant surprise to be in a title race and to start looking out for the results of other teams when I'm not doing my professional objective job. And I think the form has been good. The football's been good. And just a bit of a blow to be defeated by City, who have been the most dominant team in that competition. I was at the previous round for both of the teams. I was at Goodison, I was at the Emirates for City against Arsenal, sat right behind their substitutes, and I looked at that bench and I thought City have got a really strong bench. Now United have got a decent squad as well, but there's still some way to go. And as long as that way to go is something which Ole Gunnar Solskjaer can achieve, then I think fans will be okay with that.
Andy, can I bring you back to just a period of time where at Liverpool, Jurgen Klopp lost a bunch of big games, whatever, finals and semi-finals for a couple of seasons. It struck me that at that point, losing those games, while it really annoyed him and it didn't seem great for the fans, what they had was a clear sign of progress. And it struck me that when just listening to you there, that Manchester United fans have in recent seasons experienced the winning of trophies when Mourinho won a lot of trophies. And I wonder, would you part winning some trophies for a sense that actually you're title contenders again?
I think winning trophies is part of the improvement and being title contenders again. I've enjoyed being part of a title race in the last month because I didn't expect it, especially with the poor start to the season which Manchester United had. And you start seeing West Brom celebrate at Anfield and puts a spring in your step. And football should be doing things like that. I'm sure Liverpool fans would be exactly the same if it was the other way around. Or when Southampton beat Liverpool. It's a pleasant surprise. But you mentioned before me that City are looking pretty ominous. And they are. And they're title winners. And they've got the experience of being title winners. I think a trophy would definitely help United. The players lifting a trophy. The idea of fans being at Wembley. And United can still go for the FA Cup, still go for the Europa League. And I believe they should go for both because there's no harm done in winning trophies.
I don't mean to labour the point, but obviously Van Gaal won trophies as well. My concern would be that if I was in Solskjaer's situation right now, I would be putting out as weak a team as I needed to in the Europa League to make sure that I put all my eggs in the basket of the Premier League and that I don't in some way have a sense of false dawn by winning. So Mikel Arteta won a trophy last year, and I don't know if the Arsenal fans look back on that as like, yeah, this is great. We've got this manager now, and actually that was a bit of a false dawn too.
Yeah, I don't agree with you. I think that United should be going to win the FA Cup, should be going to win the Europa League. There's a big squad there with plenty of players. It's not a squad that's had a lot of injuries this year. United's been quite fortuitous there. But your point about Van Gaal winning a trophy and Mourinho winning trophies, or titles as he called them, and he included the Community Shield in that, it's absolutely right. And ultimately, it wasn't good enough. It needed to be combined with genuine title challenges. And there is one this year, or at least there is at the moment. We're not even halfway through the Premier League season yet. But United finished 32 and 33 points behind the champions in the last 2 years. They're now ahead of both. I don't expect that to be the case at the end of the season, but I'll enjoy the ride while it happens. So as long as this January is not as bad as last January when United lost four different games, feels good for your team to be in contention at the top of a really tight league. Yes, Liverpool and City have both dropped more points, but United have won a lot more points as well, admittedly against a poor start to last season. And you might say that Jose Mourinho got 81 points, and he absolutely did. But the football was terrible towards the end of his time, as it was under Van Gaal. And those 81 points, from October onwards in that season, United were so far behind City. So it should be exciting. I get the point from the accountants wanting to be in the top four in the Champions League. But for what? To be knocked out by a German team sponsored by a fizzy drink or energy drink or whatever it is. You cannot be going to Wembley and seeing your team win a trophy. I grew up watching United in the 80s winning the FA Cup, and it meant the world. And to win the Europa League, it isn't the Champions League. But United don't have a team to win the Champions League at the moment, because if they would have done, they would have come out of that group stage. To go to Gdansk in May, 30,000 United fans. It's going to be difficult to get there. There's decent teams there. And he's got to overcome this semi-final hoodoo, which is now becoming a bit of an issue. Ole Gunnar says it's not a psychological issue, but the more it goes on, the more it will become one.
The thing that's happened with, I guess, teams that have struggled in a particular area over the last few years, I'm talking about Liverpool and Manchester City here, that they've gone out and they've signed a central defender who has made a world of difference, from Virgil van Dijk to Ruben Dias, who looks every bit worth the value they put into him. Does that give you hope that Manchester United can splash a bit of cash in the central defensive area and get some success over the next, I don't know, two windows maybe? Because it's quite obvious at this point that maybe a left-sided centre-back is exactly what they need at this point.
I think the manager feels that he needs two or three windows to keep bringing in the players to improve the squad. I think his record in the transfer market has been a decent one so far. Interesting that you mentioned Ruben Dias came from Benfica, United's best player, came from Sporting. So rather than the club's own youth systems, they're often going to Portugal for some of the best players. And Fernandes came a year ago and he transformed the team and he improved United significantly. What Ole Gunnar Solskjaer wants is competition in every single position. Your point about the left-sided central defender, yeah, compared to City's defence last night, United's wasn't at the same level. And had we spoke a month ago, that point would have been more pertinent. But Eric Bailly actually did well. He was unlucky not to start last night. Am I convinced that we're looking at the next Vidic and Ferdinand with any of the United central defensive partners? No, I'm not. But I thought that Lindelof and Maguire actually did well in the first half against the best player in the league, Kevin De Bruyne. You know, they were finding space in front of United's defence and pulling those defenders forward to the point that they didn't really know who they were marking. And that was pretty nervous to watch as a Manchester United fan. I'm not convinced that a central defender is United's immediate priority at the moment. Watching the game last night, I thought this team needs a centre-forward. Cavani could have made a difference last night, but City were worthy of their win. And it is disappointing. I spoke to Ole Gunnar the day before the game and asked him about the improvements against City. And they've been slight, and these are small mercies. But this is where United have come from. The mighty have fallen, but I think that United are improving and are on the way back. Can they get back to the top? Well, we need to see if that's going to happen.
Should Bailly have started last night?
He's been doing well. I think the risk, and he's been doing well in that competition too. And when he's fit, he can be a top class player. I think the feeling about him is he's been injury prone. Obviously, doesn't want to be injured, and there's always a mistake in him. So when he deserved to start against Tottenham in that big game, 3 or 4 minutes into the match, he'd made a mistake, and he's got to, I think, prove himself to the manager that he should be starting in the biggest games. Although I'm contradicting myself, because against Chelsea last year, away from home, he started in a three-man defence and he was one of the best players on the pitch.
So there's an option there, and it looks like there's going to be a window of opportunity for him now over the next while. And yet he picked Lindelof last night. So it's clear that either they don't think he's physically able to do four games in a row, or they still have the feeling that they want Lindelof to emerge as the partner.
Lindelof's had issues with a back injury throughout the season, and he's played through pain. And he started this season pretty poorly and was quite rightly criticised for his poor form. And then I think he had a better spell alongside Maguire. This United team actually concedes a lot of goals. That's because they take more risks going forward. I mean, fans, I've got to think, what do you want? I remember clearly under Van Gaal and Mourinho, fans saying, I just want my team to entertain again. I think this team are pretty entertaining. But what comes with that is the risks. It's going behind in every away game, which is bizarre. But then coming back to win all those games, really exciting finishes. It's far more enjoyable than towards the end of Van Gaal's time, than towards the end of Mourinho's time. Do I think that Lindelof will be shortlisted for the Defender of the Year award this year? No, I don't. And when you look at Virgil van Dijk, how he transformed Liverpool, that maybe shows what an absolute top world-class defender can do, like Vidic did with United when he paired with Ferdinand. So I think you're asking questions in the right area. And I'm also thinking that United spent more on Harry Maguire than any defender in the world. He's United's captain. I would like to see him be more vocal. But he's been a good signing. But I'm not saying great signing. I'm saying good signing. And I think you can argue the case for quite a few of the United players. They're doing all right. But if you're going to be trophy winners, you've got to be doing better than all right.
On TV last night, we had Roy Keane as a pundit. He said, Bruno Fernandes has had great praise. And over the last few months, he's been compared to players like Cantona. But Fernandes didn't really do much tonight. Top players turn up in big occasions. That's what you have to do to win trophies. Does he have a point, Andy?
He absolutely has a point. And look at those biggest games what Roy Keane played in. I remember him playing for the Republic of Ireland in, I think it was in Portugal, and just thinking, wow. I remember him in Turin for Manchester United, exactly the same. He's got a point. If you're going to be one of the best players in the world, you've got to perform in some of those biggest matches. And Fernandes, he was all right last night, but all right is nowhere near good enough. De Bruyne was far more effective than Bruno Fernandes was. I think Bruno had four shots, but I thought United in attack were pretty disappointing, especially in the second half. And when they did have chances, I think Fred put a ball through to Marcus Rashford. Maybe he could have made more of it. And Ole Gunnar talks about these fine margins all the time. It's true, but when you lose four consecutive semi-finals, you've got to start making the fine margins work in your favour, because people will quite rightly ask questions.
Roy in to speak to some of the younger players. Andy, has he?
Yeah, I wrote this the other day in a piece. Roy has been in to speak to the kids, not the first team players. That's what I understand. And Ryan Giggs has been in as well. And I think that's good. You've got these former world-class players who live very close to the training ground and are close friends with the likes. You know, Roy and Nicky Butt are good mates. And for Nicky to get Roy to come in and to speak to the youngsters and to say, look, this is how it is. This is the reality of it. Statistically, most of you are not going to make it at this club. So you've got to be as well prepared you can be to become professional footballers. I don't think any of the players walk out of that meeting with Roy or with Ryan Giggs or with some of the other players who've come in and think that was a waste of time. It's absolutely good. And I hear lots of good stuff about Roy around South Manchester, which doesn't get reported, where, you know, he gets invited to a local charity one of them was Altrincham Football Club, for example, and they needed money and he turns up and he didn't ask for money and he just stayed as long as he was wanted. I find him forever a fascinating figure, and if he can help Manchester United, and I know he's good mates with Ole Gunnar as well, put all these ingredients into the pot. Add Darren Fletcher into it as well. He's now coaching with the first team. I'm optimistic about that. I think it's a good decision. Let's see if it is.
What kind of a coach do you think Fletcher's going to be? What will he bring?
I think he's a complete geek who's obsessed by statistics and is the only player at United for a long time would pull me up on articles that I've written showing that he's reading lots and lots. And I think Jamie Carragher was like that at Liverpool. He rang 442 magazine up to inquire when his subscription was up because he'd not received the latest issue, like a day after it had come out. And I like that in a footballer. I like the fact that they love their profession. They love the sport. They've got a capacity and a want to learn and learn and learn. Darren Fletcher's always been a big fan of Spanish football. He's been over to Spain several times to study Spanish football. I think he speaks really well. He's turned down loads of media because he's really good at media, because he prefers to be a coach. He needed his time out. And I'm not talking out of turn there. I spoke to him on Thursday. He needed his time out after finishing at Stoke, where things didn't work out for him. I think he needed to clear his head. And he came into United, first of all, with the kids. That's what they often do, bring players in to work with the kids just to see if they've got a feel for being there. Doesn't always work out with some of them. You know, I know players who've been in there and read the Riot Act about you've got to have heart, you've got to have passion, and the players are just like shaking their head going, don't patronise us. But other players like Fletcher have, I think, will fit in. And that's not to be a yes man. I mean, Darren played with Roy Keane. He's absolutely fine in putting his own opinions across and his own ideas. But a man who studies tactical systems from around the world, get him in there.
I did want to ask you, Andy, the transfer window is open and one of our YouTube commenters is pointing out that there's a 15-day stretch in February. United have to play Sociedad, Newcastle, Sociedad, Chelsea and City. And as you were pointing out, sitting behind the Manchester City bench, it looks impressive. Do you expect any activity in the next 2 or 3 weeks?
I don't. And lose 4 matches and maybe there would be activity. I think if United's targets became available, they'd definitely move for them. I don't think those targets will become available. Maybe one or two players might move on, but it's difficult moving players on. Players on huge salaries who are not playing. It will basically be them deciding, I need to play football. I think that'd be the right thing to do. Maybe younger player, but I'd be surprised if there's any movement. When I say a younger player, Moises Caicedo from Ecuador is someone who United scouted, had talks about, and that was it. And I was reading like advanced talks about to happen. And my understanding is that he has several people saying that they represent him. That's why you've seen his name being linked to lots of other clubs, because one of those agents has got to try and get the deal over. I'm not sure which of them has got the mandate to do it. He's a 19-year-old central midfielder, but I've not been told for certain, like I was with Amad Diallo and also Facundo Pelestre. I was told absolutely certain we want these players, and I wrote that. And then when they don't sign the next day, you said this is happening, when's it happening? Whoa, wait a minute. Transfers can take more than 12 hours. And then there's other players who I mentioned recently, Ollie Watkins for Aston Villa, and that never came out, but United wanted to be made kept abreast of developments with him and decided not to move for him in the end. That happens a lot in football. The manager and the people around him are making decisions. But to your main point, I don't think we'll be seeing another 60, 70 million Bruno Fernandes style signing this transfer window. I might be wrong, but I just can't see it at the moment.
Andy Mitten, great stuff as ever. Thanks a million for taking the call this morning.
Thank you.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.